The following program's views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your late night live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight. That toll-free number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We can get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And like I said, we'll be with you till midnight tonight. And let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. We do pray that you bless the program. Use it for your glory tonight. Father, help us to be able to point people to Christ, and just pray that perhaps that is something that we talk about this evening, some of the things that we touch on, that you can use that to work in somebody's heart, an understanding of the gospel, an understanding of their need for Christ, that they might trust Christ as their Savior before it's everlastingly too late. Bless now, watch over us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. It certainly was a cold one here in northeastern Ohio. We had some really cold weather this past week. In fact, I was looking on the internet, and I guess over 1,000 cold weather records were set across the United States this past week. And a bit of snow, too. It just depended on where you were at. We had probably about 4 inches, I guess, this past week. And you know, enough to make things look nice, look more like Christmas than Thanksgiving, though. But I had enough to eat, that's for sure. I finished up the day feeling like the Thanksgiving turkey myself, well stuffed. And that's certainly a good way to end. I hope you and trust that you were able to have a good day and be able to join with family and friends and share a little bit of what God's done in your lives and thank God for the blessings that he's given to you. Well, if you tried to tune into our program this past Friday, and most of you know we're on Friday afternoons as well for a half an hour. That's every Friday afternoon right here on AM 1220 from 1:30 in the afternoon until 2. We were preempted. It might have been some question. We were preempted with a football game, I believe, this past Friday, but we should be on back on schedule this coming Friday. Of course, here we are tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. That toll-free number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air here this evening. And I believe that we've got a caller coming in right now. So I think we have Fran calling in. And Fran, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Okay, thank you. I have a question about chemtrails.
Right. Oh, the chemtrails? Okay.
Yes, are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with the concept, yes.
So what is that? Why are they doing that? They're told not to do it.
Well, there's a lot of controversy over chemtrails, and most of what people think they're seeing when they see chemtrails are the condensation that occurs when the jet goes through the air. Now, I know a lot of people say a lot of things about chemtrails. I've looked at the pros and cons of it, and for the listeners who aren't familiar, the idea is that there's a secret program, whatever group is doing it, and the group varies, where jetliners traversing the sky at all manners of the day and night are being filled with tanks full of chemicals, and whatever the chemicals are, We don't necessarily know, and of course, depending on what you read, the composition of the chemicals varies. And these chemicals are being pumped out in the atmosphere, and what you see when you see the white streamer behind the jet in the sky is actually the chemicals that they're pumping out into the air. And I've heard everything from population control to mind control and just about everything in between. The problem is most of them are just condensation trails. I know that the U.S. government and private companies have done tests on dispersing things, but as far as the chemtrail stuff goes, I have to be honest. I've read both sides of the issue. I've heard some people talk about it rather passionately, but here's where I'm coming from with the chemtrails. And again, try to relate this a little bit to the scriptural passages here. In order to have a program big enough to do what's being claimed by the proponents of the chemtrails, that there's some group with less than honorable purposes, you know, spreading these things in the atmosphere, there has to be a lot of people. Now, anybody that's ever worked in airports, around airports, or anybody who's ever served in the military, the Air Force, or something like that, where you've been around airfields and all that, you don't just send an airplane up, especially a large jet. And if there is indeed a program filling jetliners full of these chemicals and then dispersing it, somebody has to be making the chemicals. Right. Somebody has to be maintaining the tanks of these chemicals at airports all across the country. Somebody has to be overseeing the loading of these chemicals onto jets all over the country. Somebody has to be manufacturing, installing, and maintaining the tanks, the nozzles, or the pumps, and all the stuff that goes into it. And there has to be crews of people in order to pull this off. And the problem is, I don't see a whole lot of people coming forward saying, yes, my company makes the chemicals, my company makes the tanks, my company stockpiles that or delivers these chemicals. No, I was involved in maintaining the tankers and the tanks and the nozzles and everything on these jets and cleaning out the tanks and making sure that they're filled before the next flight. I just don't see these people coming out. And I was in the Air Force, and I saw some things that happened that are, you know, classified. I had a fairly high security clearance. And let me put it this way. The more that people know about something, and the more likely it is that information about it is going to get out and people are going to talk about what they saw, what they did. It's very hard to keep these secrets. Just look at this Snowden character and the secrets that he's leaking all over the place. And he's just one of many. But I wanted to bring this more to a biblical point.
Right.
And to do that, I want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Okay.
And for most of my life, I can remember watching the news on television, reading the newspapers and things like that. I mean, when I was a kid, when I was in sixth grade, I can remember watching the news and reading the newspapers. I did it all through junior high, all through high school, all through college. And I'm still a news junkie. And prior to, you know, kind of seeing some things when I was in the Air Force, I used to be a little more gung-ho on some various conspiracy theories.
Right.
But I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was a young person, and I rededicated my life to the Lord when I was serving the United States Air Force, and I was stationed at a base in England. And I got back into my Bible, and I started trying to make sense of some of the conspiracy theories. I thought, well, with the clearance I have, surely if there's any glimmer of truth to some of these conspiracy theories, I ought to be able to see some of it. And I began praying about it, and this is the conclusion that I came to. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the master conspirator isn't the Illuminati, it's not the Club of Rome, it's not the Catholic Church, it's not the Bilderbergers, it's not, whatever group you want to put in there. The master conspirator is the devil. And you can see this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 very clearly. It says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from or as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" Now notice what Paul writes here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 6. He says, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." And let me interject here, letteth and let there is in the hindering sense. We don't use it typically that way, but it is still used sometimes like in a legal document, such as without let or hindrance. And the word for letteth there is the same word for withholdeth in verse 6. What's going on here is the devil at every time has to be prepared to advance his cause to bring the Antichrist to power. But the devil does not know when he's going to be able to do it. And so in every age, he's had various groups, various individuals in the works, grooming them so that one of them eventually will come to fruition. And so there's a variety of conspiracies always going on, but they change over time. You know, the people working for a one-world government, they're not walking in lockstep where they never make mistakes and they always cooperate with one another completely. There's various competing groups out there and a lot of infighting amongst some of those groups. And the devil is the one that's ultimately behind all of them. And he cannot win his or make, you know, his plans come to completion until the Holy Spirit is gone from the present ministry, where the Holy Spirit works through believers, because we're supposed to be salt and light in the world.
Right.
And through the believers, the Holy Spirit of God is restraining the work, the conspiratorial work of the devil. And, you know, the conspiracy groups that most people put out today are usually at most maybe a couple hundred years old. Most of them don't go back too many years. Some of them, the Freemasons and others, do go back longer, the Knights Templar and things like that. Many of the groups are of relatively recent origin. And in every time frame, there's been a number of groups that have had designs on a one-world government. And I believe the devil's been behind all of them. Let me go back to something I was saying about the chemtrails and some things. I do not doubt that there are various individual projects every once in a while to test things, and sometimes for good reasons, sometimes for not so good reasons. But I do know, and I do know this from seeing some things when I was in the military, that some things get taken out of context. For instance, back in the 50s or 60s, I can't think of the name of it, but there's been several varieties where the United States Air Force, for instance, was tasked with how to carry out a nuclear attack on an American city. And those things get taken out of context, and, oh, here's the U.S. government planning on attacking and destroying a U.S. city. No, the reason they did those studies in the course of the Cold War was, let's see how this would happen so we could defend our cities against that. Another thing that took place during the course of the Cold War that I remember having my eyes opened about, I guess I could say, is the Soviet troops training in the American Southwest, and the Soviet troops based, for those of the too young to remember the Cold War, the Soviet Union was what Russia was pretty much the head of, and it broke up in the late 80s, early 90s. But the Soviet bases that we had in the southwestern United States, we had American troops that wore Soviet uniforms, and they had airplanes, and they had tanks, and they had trucks, and they had all kinds of vehicles fit to look like their Soviet equivalents. They spoke Russian. They studied the Soviet Union. They watched Russian television programming and movies and read Russian books and literature and everything. And the idea was to provide a fighting force that our military units could train against, because in the course of the Cold War, we couldn't very well send, you know, some American troops to go have a test battle with the Soviets. That would have launched World War III. So we, at great expense, set up Air Force units, Army units, Naval units that looked like Soviet troops, Soviet units, and they endeavored to fight like the Soviets did, and then we would use those units to train our troops, and we would send them in training against them. And so, you know, I know that there are some things, and there's rogue operations that take place, but when I look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it says, not to be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. I'm not too terribly worried about some of these conspiracy theories anymore, because I know God's in control. He's got a plan. And I want to be salt and light so that the Holy Spirit can use me to help withhold, help hinder the devil's progress. And you hear every once in a while somebody say, well, it doesn't matter. They've planned who's going to win the next election. Your vote doesn't matter. And as soon as that happens, they're going to take over. And I always wonder, well, why haven't they done it yet? I've been hearing and reading that since the 1970s. They're going to declare martial law. They're going to take over. You're not going to have another free election. You know, are some of the plans there? Absolutely. However, I'm not worried too much, because the Bible says not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit. I don't think we should be ignorant. I think we should try to keep an eye on what's going on in the world around us. But we also got to remember the devil's the ultimate conspirator, and he's not going to be able to bring his plans to fruition until God allows him to.
Right, correct. Right.
I might have got on a little bit of a hobby horse there, but I hope I kind of helped answer some of your questions.
Right. Well, the reason I ask is because, you know, a lot of people are getting some stuff in the air, food we eat, or getting a lot of cancers and things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. And I often wonder if those chemtrails, you know, mm-hmm. are dropping stuff that would affect our living, you know, I mean,
yeah.
down on Earth.
Well, a lot of the stuff, if it's dispersed in these chemtrails, the concentrations, you know, the atmosphere is a pretty big thing, and it would take an awful lot to reach concentrations. I'd be more concerned with some of the stuff that's in our water and some of the additives that's in our foods, and certainly some of the things that we, you know, put in our bodies directly. You know, like there's a lot of people worried about radioactive water from the Japanese reactors that was flooded during the tsunami approaching the West Coast. And, you know, it's so low of a concentration that the people sampling it don't have to use any precautions. And see, just because we can detect things don't mean that they're at levels that are going to cause problems.
Right.
And again, I'm not trying to, you know, be a Pollyanna or something about this, but the fact that a lot of cancers are out there is another reason is that we're simply living a lot longer than what we used to. And because we're living longer, we're having things happen. Let me give you, for instance, England has a lower cancer rate than what we have. But that's because in England, with their National Health Care Service, a lot of people die before they get diagnosed as having cancer. And even if they die and the doctor realizes after the fact that it was a cancer death, they don't report it as a cancer death because they were never diagnosed or treated for cancer.
Right.
And there's other people. My dad, for instance, if he would have only lived as long as his father, he would have never had a bout with cancer. But because he's lived, you know, to be in his 80s, he did have a bout with cancer, and you know, praise God, he's doing very well. But what I'm getting at is the act of living so much longer, we have more time for things to happen. Another thing too is I'm a young earth creationist. I believe that the earth was created by God, and I believe that it was, you know, probably sometime between 6,000 and 8,000 years ago. And there's a lot of scientific reasons for that that tend to get covered up. I've actually studied evolution and related topics in college. But what I'm getting at is that when you look at the decay, or the mutation rate, I guess would be a better way of putting it, in our DNA, in our genetic makeup, each generation, after you go so many generations, you see a noticeable decline in the genetic health of the human race. And so we're seeing that happen as well. And then, like I said, we've got so many things. We don't get the exercise that we used to get. We don't get the fresh air. Most people live in a hermetically sealed home or work in a hermetically sealed office building, you know, where they don't get the fresh air, and, you know, just we don't get enough sleep. We don't drink enough water, and the water that we do drink is loaded with chemicals. I think we got a lot more to worry about that than something that's up in the air. And certainly, if somebody wanted to poison us or put something in us, they'd have a much better success rate pumping it into the municipal water systems than they would putting it up into the atmosphere, where it gets dispersed. And I've heard people say, oh, there's chemtrails up there. I see chemtrails. That must be why my nose is stuffy and my throat's scratchy. I'm sorry, if you're seeing a chemtrail up there at 20,000 feet or 30,000 feet or higher, you're not getting particulates from that chemtrail up there. They're landing hundreds of miles away and at quite some time. In fact, some of those things, and we know this from tests that have been done, when you put particulates up in the atmosphere like that, a lot of those things are going to be airborne, float around in the atmosphere, you know, for years before they ever start to settle out. And, you know, there's volcanic ash floating around from some of these volcanoes that have happened in recent years. For instance, and you know, it's just chemtrails to me are pretty low on the worry list, I guess.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And like I said, look to the Bible, look to the Lord. Amen. Be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, because God's ultimately in control. Amen. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, well, you've got a home waiting for you in heaven. And I believe the Bible pretty clearly tells us that we're going to be caught out of the world prior to the tribulation period. Now, if somebody is not saved, and if somebody finds themselves in the tribulation period, I believe that a lot of things that are going on in the background today, the devil will be able to bring to fruition as he brings about the one world government under the reign of the Antichrist. But I hope that helps you out a little bit there tonight.
Oh, it sure does. Thanks a million.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your call tonight. Of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. I think that's the first time we've talked about chemtrails on the program, but we do. I mean, that's something I've read about it. People talk about it, and I have personally flown in aircraft and seen condensation trails forming off from the wings, and I'm pretty reasonably certain that it wasn't the result of chemicals being pumped out. The only chemicals being pumped out that I could see was the jet fuel that was being burned in the engines, and the emissions being pumped out from that. And it will cause some condensation trails, even the wing just going through the air if the conditions are just right, with humidity, temperature, and all those sorts of things. But at any rate, as I told our caller, be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. We need to be watchful. We need to be aware. But we need to take things with a grain of salt. I mean, it's easy to throw conspiracy theories out there. I've followed a few in the past, and quite a few, actually, and some more than others. And I realize that having talked about chemtrails, there's a certain segment of listening audience that could write me off and say, well, you were in the military, you're in on it. Well, I can't argue with that, I guess. I was in the military. the ultimate argument of you're in on it. I remember seeing a guy at a thing one time, and he came up to me. I was waiting to talk to the speaker, and he saw my Air Force hat, and he started going on about something, and then he looked at my Air Force hat, and he said, "And by the way, we never went to the moon." And I looked at him, and I said, "I'm sorry, but I think we did go to the moon, and in fact, I've got every reason to believe that there may still be people there. How do you know they're not?" And I left. I didn't engage him in conversation with that. But actually, that is a good question. You ever think about that? What's on the backside of the moon? You don't see it. It's always turned away from us. Military could have something there. You don't know. And I used to tell people when the space shuttle was flying, you never notice that military packages go up on the space shuttle. We don't know what they are, and they don't always come back, and you don't know what happens to them. I flew on an airplane one time as a military package. How about that? I was a classified package. I was on the manifest. So you never can tell. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you'll stick with us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Brought to you tonight, of course, by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. Certainly encourage you to come out and visit with us. More information about that will be given at the end of the program. But also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more in addition to pizza. And you can find East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights a call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100. In Garfield Heights, right across from the Garfield Heights High School on Turney Road. If you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, why not give East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And ask for Gus. He can help you find out how you can get started in your own pizza shop for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. All right, well, we're going to get back to our program. As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our toll-free telephone number, 888-677-9673, gets you on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I believe we have John waiting. And John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You're making me hungry talking about pizza.
Hey, you ought to go out there and try one. Let me tell you, he's got great pizza. I get out there every once in a while, and if I'm going to advertise a pizza place on the air, I got to eat some of the pizza and make sure it's good.
It's a good thing I don't live on the east side.
Well worth the drive.
Okay. Well, anyways, I was looking on the internet, and I see where the Islamic Republic and the Jewish state are preparing for Armageddon.
You know, actually, John, we're pretty much in somewhat of agreement here. And what you're bringing up is the recent agreements that our country and I believe five other countries entered into with Iran. It basically lets them have, their nuclear program pretty much intact. And the Israelis believe, I just read something yesterday, I think it was, one of their former military chiefs, defense chiefs, what's the name they have, defense ministers, whatever, claims that he believes that they have enough enriched uranium for four atomic weapons. And we also know that the Iranians have been working with the North Koreans developing ballistic missile technology. And the Saudis are worried because the Saudis are Sunni Muslim, and they're the ones who control Medina and Mecca, very important to the Muslim world. The Iranians are Shiite Muslim, and they would like to control Medina and Mecca. And the Sunnis and the Shiites are enemies of each other. And the old adage, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And the Saudis and the Israelis are actually cooperating along with the Pakistanis in some possible preemptive action against Iran. And actually, the Saudis, back in 2004, apparently had a secret agreement with Pakistan whereby they helped fund the Pakistan bomb, the nuclear bomb and program in Pakistan, with the understanding that when the Saudis wanted, they could go and pick up a nuclear weapon from Pakistan. And I just read something actually earlier, it was either earlier today or late last night, that said that it suggested that the Saudis are preparing to have the nuclear weapons that they purchased from Pakistan delivered to Saudi Arabia, and their along with some ballistic missile technology, their goal, of course, would be preventing Iran from developing nuclear weapons. And yeah, you're absolutely right. That would plunge the Middle East into a major, major war. Well, that would probably go nuclear.
Well, how do you think things will shake out?
I think what's going to happen, and we've talked about a little bit on the program in the past, I believe that there is a war that's going to take place in the Middle East, and that when that war takes place, that it's going to result in the destruction of Egypt, it's going to result in the destruction of Lebanon, Syria, and also Jordan. And there's a number of biblical prophecies that suggest that the Jewish people are going to be involved in destroying Egypt, destroying Syria, and some of these other places. And I believe that will set the stage for the rise of the Antichrist. And it'll also, according to the one prophecy dealing with Damascus, it suggests that in addition to Damascus being destroyed, which has never happened, also Israel will be it will be harmed. In actually, it says it'll be made lean. The idea being that it'll be like when somebody goes through and harvests the field and they take most of the crop and they only leave the gleanings behind. Israel will be like that. And because of that, and seeing a regional nuclear war like that, you could see where easily it would come on to the time frame where the Israelis would lay down. Well, they wouldn't have the weapons anymore. Their military would be decimated. And as a consequence, it would be a case where they would have to let somebody guarantee their peace, and that would usher in the time frame of the Ezekiel 38 invasion of Israel, where I believe it will be Russia, Iran, Turkey, Libya, and some other nations will come as an invading force against the Middle East. And Israel at that time is described as a land of unwalled villages, a land where they're dwelling at rest and in safety. Because I believe that they'll think that they're safe. And you'll notice in Ezekiel 38, there's no mention of Egypt. There's no mention of Lebanon, Syria, or the nations, the people groups that made up what is today Jordan. That would be Edom, Moab, and Ammon, I believe, because those nations appear to have been destroyed. And so, yeah, we could be seeing the lead up to something like that. I'm certainly not going to say that's what's going to happen here in the next few days or the next few weeks or even the next few months. But I think that it could be.
Is there anything that people in your listening audience should do to prepare for Armageddon?
Well, yeah, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the best thing that you can do.
How do you feel about these people that claim to be religious and yet they're survivalists?
Well, the term survivalist has some varying definitions. I have, some food on a shelf in the basement. I could be called a survivalist just because that's the way I grew up. I grew up, we lived in a small farm, and my mom canned stuff, and we had a fruit cellar that was filled with canned goods and everything. So, when we go to the grocery store, we buy extra canned goods. I think people should do that. But I think some people carry the survivalist thing maybe. I'm not going to say they carry too far, but I think some people worry more about that than they do about trusting in God, to guide them. I think first and foremost, we need to be sure of our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we're not saved, we need to confess our sin and trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then the Bible teaches that the believers will be taken out of the world before the tribulation period. Now, that doesn't mean that we'll be taken out of the world before this potential nuclear war in the Middle East. I mean, we may very well see that happen. We could be taken out of the world during that. We could see some pretty troublesome times. If you live in an area, for instance, when you know that there could be hurricanes or there could be tornadoes, it's a sensible thing to have, you know, a store of food and water. It's a sensible thing to have some supplies on hand. If you lived up in the mountains, I went to college in Colorado. A lot of people who lived up in the mountains, I was in Fort Collins, but a lot of people who lived up in the mountains where they could get snowed in for weeks at a time, you know, they would have a lot of supplies on hand. And it's just sensible. It's a prudent thing, I think, to have enough food and water on hand that you could survive, you know, for a couple of weeks if you got totally cut off for some reason. I think, you know, there's a very real potential, and the Iranians have said this, and they are studying how to conduct an electromagnetic pulse attack against the United States, which would involve detonating a nuclear warhead in the atmosphere over a portion of the United States. The resulting electromagnetic pulse would take out much of our infrastructure. Anything that has a transistor in it, anything that has a diode in it, anything that has I'm trying to think all the different little things that we have, our computers, our cell phones, our silicon, anything that has a silicon chip in it, all of that, or at least the bulk of that, might be fried. We don't know how much. It could result in everything from the lights going out to your car not running, and certainly pumping stations not pumping water if you're on a municipal water system, and all sorts of things. I mean, that could happen.
I know a lot of these people are storing up a lot of guns and ammo to protect their food. How do you feel about that?
I don't see anything wrong with storing up things to protect your food and to protect each other. There's a great book out there. If somebody really wants to pursue a what-if scenario, it's called, I think, One Second After. I believe it's One Second After, and it involves a hypothetical in modern times electromagnetic pulse attack, and it centers around a small town in upstate North Carolina. And it really is an eye-opening book. The guy who wrote it just basically what would happen in his town and what would life become like there. And it is good, but ultimately, like I was sharing with our caller in the first half hour, our first and foremost concern has to be our relationship with God. And we've got to, you know, believe that God ultimately is our protection. I believe God gives us means to protect ourselves, and I believe that God gives us common sense to take care of ourselves and to try to, be prepared. And I tell people this, I say, you know, if you got stuff stored up and everything, and if you've got a means of protecting yourself, what a great opportunity if you're in a situation like that to be able to be a witness for the Lord and to be able to share Christian love with people. Now, I know you don't want to get overrun with people, you know, trying to clean you out and things like that, but you know, life is going to go on. People are going to have concerns if something took place. And one of those big concerns is, what does God have to say about this? And in every situation, whether in good times or bad, as believers, we need to be prepared to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and to give an answer for the hope that's in us. I hope we don't see something like that, but I'm not saying it couldn't happen.
Well, I know if I needed food or something and I went to my neighbor and he was holding a gun on me, that wouldn't be a very good witness.
Well, no, it wouldn't. But if you were breaking down your neighbor's door and demanding his food and things of that nature, then he might have a reason to hold a gun on you. But if your neighbor was a Christian and your neighbor was trying to live a godly lifestyle during that time, you know, in such a situation, and you were there and he had the ability to help, then I would certainly hope that as a Christian he wouldn't be pulling a gun on you just because you knocked on his door and politely asked if there's any way, you know, that you could help. But yeah, certainly if somebody was kicking in the door in the middle of the night and trying to take all of your food and attack your family, then yeah, he might pull a gun on you. So I don't think you would do that. I don't think you would do that. But I mean, there's some people who would, and that's the, you know, you see when there's disasters, you see looters come out. And, you know, I think there's going to, somebody's put it this way. They said right. that in the world, there's sheep and there's sheepdogs and there's wolves. And sheep need sheepdogs to protect them from the wolves. And I would hope that that Christian with that gun would reckon himself to be a sheepdog and not a wolf.
Well, I guess the way I look at it is I don't really have anything worth protecting.
Well, I mean, ultimately, you know, each person and each situation is going to be different.
To me, everything is perishable.
Well, and yeah, everything in this life is only temporary anyways. And that's why I say the most important thing is our relationship with the Lord. And we've got to trust that the Lord will be our guide and our protection in good times and in bad. Most of history and most of the world, life has been a lot harder than what we have here in the United States. I mean, right. The people who were poor in the United States, let's face it, live better than kings did in centuries past.
Right.
They really do. And I always remember the governor of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal, whose parents came from India. He was talking with an immigrant from India, and he said, "Why'd you want to come to America?" He said, "I want to live in a country where the poor people are fat." I thought, now there's an interesting statement. And there is some truth to that. We need to do what we can, make sure of our relationship with Christ. We need to know what's going to happen to us when we die. Are we going to be in heaven or hell? And the way to do that is to confess Christ as your Savior and believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to take away your sins, and that he died on the cross, he was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. When we put our faith in Christ, we know the Holy Spirit's in us, and we know that God is watching over us, and he'll give us the grace to go through any situation that we might have to go through, whether it's good times or lean times. God will help us get through that. John, got another caller calling in? But
In the Psalms it says the Lord is our refuge and our fortress.
Right, and he's a very present help in a time of trouble. There's a number of Psalms that talk about him being our fortress and all. So a fortress is where you go into when you're in trouble. And, you know, the Lord's the one we go to. I appreciate the call tonight, John.
Okay, good night.
And good night. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We've got Jeremiah on the line tonight. Jeremiah, welcome.
Yes, hi. You have a great program.
Hi, good evening. Good to have you tonight.
You have a great program.
Thank you. I was trying to get you tuned up here a little bit. I was having trouble hearing you.
Yeah, obviously the rapture hasn't happened yet because...
I would agree with that.
We haven't been, you know, raptured yet, so... Hopefully, you know, we will. You know, hopefully we will. Just a matter of time. Just a matter of time.
Well, it's that blessed hope that Paul wrote to Titus about. The blessed hope is that it'll happen before things get too bad.
I was walking to the store earlier this afternoon, and I looked up at the sky. It looked like there was like a little star kind of in the sky, but I couldn't figure out what it was. But it was like a star, sort of.
Was it low on the horizon or high in the sky?
It was like low on the horizon.
That's probably Venus, I think. Venus is very bright right now, and then there's another one that's higher in the sky that's probably the next brightest thing that you're going to see other than the moon, and that's Jupiter.
It was in the daytime.
And it's in the daytime? Venus comes out in the evening. But you know, is kind of interesting, people are watching the comet Izon, has come around the sun and I haven't been able to see anything about how visible it's going to be. But there was some speculation that it will become visible even in the daytime throughout much of the month of December, but it doesn't look like it's going to be that way now. It seems to have broken up considerably in its passage. It went very close to the sun. It's a lot of people don't look up at the sky. You'd be amazed how many people don't look up.
Looks like a little break in the sky.
Yeah, and but like I said, Venus is out in the western sky right now, I think kind of southwest, kind of low to the horizon. And when the sun's going down, if you're in the right location, you could see it probably before it's dark even, because it is, it's very bright. Part of that's because Venus has got a heavy cloud layer that covers it, and being closer to the sun, it really reflects quite a bit of light away. So it does come out very bright. I
was wondering if you could talk about the rapture. I know it's supposed to take place before the tribulation, and then it's supposed to, hopefully it'll happen in a church. When we're in the church, we're sitting in a church, and hopefully it'll be raptured in church.
Yeah, that would be good. Let me give you a thing. There's a lot of places, and I think we got a little less than 5 minutes to go here, and I could easily spend, you know, another hour just on this subject alone. But in Revelation chapter 1, John is being revealed things by the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 19, he says, and this is the key to the book, understanding the book of Revelation, Jesus tells John in Revelation 1, verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And that gives us a threefold division of the book. And the things which he has seen, that's pretty much covered in chapter number 1. The things which are, that's chapters 2 and 3. And that talks about the dispensation of grace in which we live. And Jesus identifies seven churches that were in Asia Minor. Most of them would have been in like upper part of Syria going up into Turkey. And these were actual churches in John's day that had certain characteristics. And Jesus instructed him to write a few words to each of these churches that address problems in those churches and strengths in some of those churches as well. And I believe that this prophetically gives us an overview of the age of grace that we live in, or the dispensation of grace. And it culminates in the Laodicean church that basically had become an apostate church that thought they'd arrived, thought they had everything, and they were kind of like we are today, talking about everything but God, it seems like. And then when we go into chapter 4, John, who is talking with the Lord, is caught up into heaven. And that chapter 4 on to the end of Revelation is the third part, the things which shall be, or the things that are going to come. And I believe John gives us a picture of the rapture there, or the catching away of the believers. And he's immediately caught up into heaven. And you'll notice that the church, the churches that we see in the first part of the book do not appear and until the end of the book. And First Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm trying to cut through some of this stuff really quick here. First Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the catching away of the believers being in two parts. The people who die, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it is, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Your soul and spirit, if you're saved, go to be with the Lord in heaven, but your body goes into the grave. And when the rapture takes place, the catching away of the believers in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible talks about the dead in Christ rising first. Well, it also talks about Christ bringing those that have died. In verse 14, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. See, the soul and the spirit are in heaven with the Lord. He brings them with him, and the body is resurrected. We're out of time there. We'll have to pick this up another time, but thanks for the call, and God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us.
The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word.